This is the Table for Two edition of the Deliberate Talks podcast, and I'm your host, Dakshin Adyantaya, welcoming you to a new dialogue with fresh viewpoints to our professional presence. In today's episode, we are turning to the maze of consultancy, a realm where expertise meets solution and experience meets new avenues. So strap in for a conversational expedition with Subhash Pais. Subhash has over 2 decades of experience in marketing and sales, working for various brands in India and abroad. Currently, Subhash helps large businesses optimize their marketing spends for smarter ROI, apart from being an investor in street smart businesses and entrepreneurs. In our conversation with Subhash, we decode decisions and probe the consultant's perception and what it takes to become one. All this and more, right after the intro. And we are back. Hello, Subhash.
Hey.
How are you doing?
Hey, hi, Dakshin.
Super excited to host you, Subhash. Thank you so much for making time for the show.
My pleasure.
Super. Subhash, before starting the ritual of our questions, we normally have one warm-up question, and this is always on a lighter note.
Right.
So I'm going to start with asking you, how many cups of coffees does it typically take for a consultant to change a light bulb or rather advise someone?
My answer to that is that I'm very chai sexual. I stay away from coffee. So chai is my performance enhancing drug. And normally a cup of well-made chai is enough to solve all issues in the world. So that's my answer.
Wonderful.
Whenever I'm posed the question about how many cups of coffee it takes to change a light.
It's always one. Lovely. Awesome then, now that we are all prepped and ready to go for our first round of questions, I want to ask you with something a little more personal.
Yes.
Consultant as a word is a very dismissive word. You know, many feel you've become a consultant because you don't want to become an entrepreneur or you don't want to work under anyone anymore.
Yeah.
There's a gig far beyond this understanding and you have been in the forefront. What does it feel like when you hear this?
No, so many years back, an old boss of mine, she met a couple of guys, you know, who presented themselves as consultants. And, she being the very, very blunt Delhiite that she was, she ended up saying, yaar, aajkal har berozgar apne aap ko consultant bol. And we were all stood right there in the background, giggling to ourselves. I mean, I was in my 20s at the time. I was in my early 20s at the time. And I was like, achha toh, this is what a consultant is supposed to be. But over the years, what has happened is that I'm talking about my own realization. I'm trying to generalize that, you know, this is how it is. This is what the market reality is. But what I feel is that there isn't a word to describe what I do at this point. Okay. And hence, I use a generic like consultant, simply because it helps me avoid a lot of questions. So consultant becomes very easy. Like, for instance, if I come on your show and if I call myself a consultant, more or less, you know, people, even though there might be stereotypes and, there might be certain perceptions about consultants, they will more or less, you know, slot me somewhere and hence it makes my life a little bit easy. However, what I have seen is a lot of people call themselves consultants. In fact, I've seen people who are on sabbatical and who are used to, who are used to working, call themselves consultants because they go out looking for smaller jobs. They go out looking for temp jobs, which will sort of allow them, to be in sabbatical, but also not take away everything that defined them over a period of time, based on what they were doing. So those type of people also use, the title consultant. If you get on to Fiverr, if you get on to Upwork, etc. It's a world of consultants out there. Those are professionals who have acquired skills and expertise in a certain area, and hence they call themselves consultants. Again, it is easier for them to call themselves consultants because it avoids a lot of unnecessary questions about, you know, what they do. So it's easier for them to slot themselves in. Coming to, you know, the quip about the fact that people who do not want to be entrepreneurs go by the title of consultants, I don't think that is completely true. But I also feel that not everyone wants to go down the conventional entrepreneurial road. Some people might be happy in a really small niche, doing the things that, you know, they have always wanted to do, or doing the things that they love, and might not, you know, be entrepreneurial in the way the world sees it, but it is very, very entrepreneurial to them. So I'm not trying to raise capital. I'm not trying to run a business at a loss out here. You know, I do not have vanity metrics to, you know, put out there. Again, that's again not entrepreneur, but there's a stereotype of an entrepreneur also that exists in the world. Consultant as a title, I believe, is simply used to, you know, get away from all of these things and just lock yourself in a very comfortable area so that there aren't too many uncomfortable follow-up questions about, you know, what do you do, and tell me a little bit more about it. In one way, you know, if you're a consultant, you're seen as an expert, or you're at least supposed to have some expertise in something. So hence, you know, by calling yourself a consultant, in that one word, what you are projecting or conveying is that I know something about something. So, you know, let's start at that, and then the conversation actually, you know, nicely moves into places and spaces that you yourself can control. So, that is what makes the word that much more desirable for people. Like, you can even call us solopreneurs in a way, but I don't think the word solopreneur has caught up, you know, in a big way. So, we'll still stick to consultants, and I think, you know, that works out pretty well, so to speak.
Right. And when do you plan this move? Like, for example, a lot of individuals are relying on FIRE, right? The financial independence, retire, and that's slowly creeping into everyone's life. Yes. You're a marketer, investor, consultant. How did you plan this move from your daily job or daily business? Right. And when did you know it's the right time to do so?
So I'm not a big fan of FIRE. My greatest dream is to die on the job. So, you know, I intend on working till I can work, you know, till it becomes physically and mentally impossible for me to not work. And that is how I've been, you know, right from my late teens. I started working much early, and I've actually worked in India, I've worked abroad, really enjoyed myself. I would be one of those few people who have really, really enjoyed working in sales as well. So, you know, I really enjoyed being out there, being with customers, listening to them, talking to them, engaging with them, the end thing. So I really, really loved all of that. And hence, I do not intend to retire or work. And you'll have to shoot me down to, you know, get me to stop. But having said that, I absolutely 100% agree with you that FIRE is catching up. A lot of people are, you know, looking to plan where they would draw a line under their career, and also about, you know, what they might want to do after them. In fact, quite a few of my friends, some of them have gotten into farming. One of them is an avid biker, so he has started a biking club. A third person is making travel blogs at the moment. So, you know, and they are not retired as yet, but they are preparing themselves to, at some point of time in the next few years, to draw a line under their career and then, you know, move on to these things. One of them has, two of them actually, one of them has become a self-help guru of sorts. He's trying to model himself on Sadhguru. He's a big bhakt of Sadhguru. Another one, very interestingly, has started a mentoring service. He mentors guys in the dating skills. Wow. Very interesting. Okay. Also, very interesting. When I heard it from him, he was very embarrassed to tell me. when I heard it from him, I was quite blown away because, you know, I mean, when you look at society today, we do need men, you know, who can carry themselves well into a date and behave accordingly. So this guy, you know, has been mentoring guys, having counseling sessions with them on what to do, you know, when you go out on a date, you know, what kind of conversation to have, what is it that you should steer away from, and, you know, how do you interact in a manner which creates a safe space for the other person to interact with you as well. And these are some things that, you know, we never thought about perhaps, but this guy has found a space there, and he is now starting to do, you know, very, very well in terms of mentoring people. He's been now approached by an FM radio station to, you know, come on one of their shows and, you know, an agony aunt kind of a thing where, you know, he would. So I'm saying, you know, there are people in my own circle who are now looking to, you know, sort of say that there will come a time when I turn 50 maybe, or, you know, there will come a time when I will have X amount of money in my bank where it will be very comfortable for me to draw a line on what I'm doing at this point of time and then do the things that, you know, I always wanted to do. So it's a very interesting in time that, you know, we are currently sitting in. And I think that, you know, a lot of people also because, you know, CTCs, etc. have risen quite a lot in the last 20 years. So, and also investment opportunities, you know, everyone keeps saying India is a great place to invest in. And there's a reason for that. So, you know, keeping all of these factors in mind, what ends up happening is by the time you are 50, you're pretty much well off financially, you know, even if you've worked in India for about 20 years. So if you're well off financially, then, you know, you can afford to do the things you want to do. And hence, I see people getting into, I see people who, I mean, have, they've never even had potted plants in their balcony, you know, moving into. So they want to learn something new and, you know, they want to do something in that particular space. So, you know, this is something that is definitely, definitely going to happen. Right. So I think fire is definitely going to happen. The trend is going to be people who will look to, you know, retire either at a certain age or when there is a certain amount of money in their bank account and they feel comfortable about it.
Right. So Subhash, you spoke about people who relatively have a little idea or have the intent to go and start something, you know, or even pursue a hobby at some point of time. But, you know, as most individuals attain midlife crisis, when they feel the need to prove sufficiency, relevancy, or even being planned while others around them are so sorted.
Yeah.
Some of them even don't figure this out in the whole life.
Yeah.
And they all want money, but they don't know how else or what else they're good at. You know, in this process, I'm sure you meet a lot of young professionals and entrepreneurs who also go through this process. Yes. What is your advice for them and what's the follow-up you normally get after advising such professionals?
Well, you know, the funny thing that you mentioned is that I'm working with a couple of clients where I have actually brought in a few consultants, four consultants. Mm. All of them are in their 20s, in their late 20s. They are 28, 29 years old and they are again going solo. So these have been you know young men and women who started working right out of college, which is 2021, and tech we live like dog's years, right? I mean, you know, 1 year in tech is like 7 years in traditional normal professions. So by the time you've acquired 6-7 years of experience, you know you are prepared really, really well to take on quite a lot of things in the real world, as in, you know, in the current corporate world. So, one of the things that, you know, I understood from all four of them was that they sort of wanted to be more in control of everything that they did, right from the type of clients they worked for to the kind of teams that, you know, they could choose to work with. To the kind of money that, that, you know, they could, build, to the time they could take out, as in, almost all of them in from 2021, as in the last 2 years, has taken one trip abroad, you know. So, and that was for a decent amount of time. I mean, the smallest period of time that they've taken a break was 12 days, and the longest was 3 weeks. So that's a substantial amount of time, you know. So they've been on international holidays that way, international trips that way. So, you know, there is this desire to be in control of yourself, you know. So when do I go on an international trip? I will go at this time of the year. What is the amount that I will charge my clients? I will charge my clients on the basis of this. What are the kind of clients I will work with? So I will not work with these type of clients because of these reasons, but I will work with these type of clients. And who are the people that, you know, I will work with? So luckily for me, I happen to be in the good boys column of, you know, these guys. They're pretty solid professionals. So, you know, that choice, they were able to make those choices. And that is what has kept them in the space. Because otherwise, at least for them, it is not very difficult to, you know, get another job. But when you get another job, you need to punch in a clock. You need to, you know, punch in the morning. You need to punch out in the evening. You take enough, you know, you might be docked a salary. So there are many things, you know, job versus being out there by yourself. It is scary being out there by yourself. And I would not, you know, recommend people try this. I mean, I'd say people don't try this at home, but please give it a very, very good thought before trying. It's not that simple. But for these four individuals, what I've seen is that, you know, they took the plunge and there were certain things about them that, you know, I was able to make why and how, you know, they were able to work with the people that they were able to work with. And now they're reaping the benefits of it. So for them, COVID was a boon where some of them were working for top startups and, you know, they sort of got cut out. So they then moved out and, you know, they launched their own services. And today, 2 years later, 2.5 years later, they are very, very self-sufficient and they're able to provide for themselves and have control over their own personal lives. So the work-life balance actually ends up taking care of itself. And the financial bit sort of, you know, can be managed that much more better. Again, there isn't a boss to answer to. Which at times they found a little difficult and overwhelming because sometimes, you know, you need that carrot and stick approach. But eventually, with time, what they understood was that, you know, they were able to put in processes in place, which, you know, allowed for them to manage themselves that much more efficiently. So for youngsters out there, you know, I would say that, you know, the one thing that you should look for are signs of, you know, burnout. I mean, there's a lot written on the internet about burnout. So, and there are a lot of psychologists who have written some really, really good stuff about burnout. If you are in your 20s, this is also a very stressful time to be in. I mean, it's a great time to be in, but it's also a very stressful time to be in. So, you know, look out for signs of burnout, because the more you keep burning out, it's like, you know, to give you an example, I'm a big football fan. And one of the things they say in football is that you will never be able to become a great player by being in the hospital bed. If you want to be a great player, you have to play, you know. So burnout basically takes you out of the game. You will never be able to function 100% if you're burning out regularly. So watch for those signs. And I would say that that is the energy you need to conserve, which can be utilized later on. Because when you go out on your own, the one thing that you require is loads of energy. Because trust me, to make that first plan, you know, to sort of manage your own finances in the interim when you're getting those first set of clients is not very easy. And it takes a lot out of you mentally, but also from an energy perspective, it requires a lot of energy. So my advice to youngsters here, the ones who are in their 20s, is to, you know, learn to breathe a lot. You know, make sure that you aren't burning out. Make sure you're well-centered. Make sure you are not comparing yourself. I mean, these are all cliches. They've been, you know, mentioned probably a million times. And I'm just once again mentioning it because these are the things that happen in real life. So make sure you don't burn out. You know, make sure you're not comparing yourself to someone else. The iPhone 15 is just not worth it and definitely not worth on worth buying on EMIs, you know, try and preserve as much of wealth as possible, and not just financial wealth, but also physical wealth. Invest in good health as much as possible. You know, learn to live a nice, clean life. Because what happens is, and this is again my experience, that once you pass 30, you are sort of entering your peak, you know, 35 to 55, or even 50. I mean, I'll bring it down to 15. The next, and those 15 years are your golden period. You've acquired so much experience, you know, both in life as well as in your profession. That is the time when you need to encash that experience. You know, that is the time when you need to encash that equity. Actually, equity in terms of the connections that you have in your industry and, you know, the network that you have built. So you need to be able to encash that equity between the ages of 35. You can do it even earlier. There's no rule as such, but I'm saying 35 to 50 is when, you know, you will be at your peak. You will probably earn more between 35 and 50 than you will earn, you know, any other point in your life. So make the best of that. In order to make the best of that, you need to get to that point, you know, free from the toxins of, you know, having burnt out, all the other. So when you are young and in your 20s, I would suggest that you, you know, learn to enjoy yourself. You also learn to breathe. You know, you also learn to avoid burnouts as much as possible, because your time as a professional is only going to get better with age.
Right. Great there. You know, but there's also a part to it after the bifurcation where we get into the whole aspect of, even if we plunge into consultancy as an alternative there, how do you find work? Right. How do you go about looking for that work regularly? Because if you don't find work, there's going to be anywhere burnout, financially instability, all those kind of things will peak in. So the first step towards it as a consultant, how do you find work?
So as I said, you know, with me, it was, so I when people ask me, what is your specialization? I've always mentioned that people are my specialization. I work with people. I've taken youngsters who did not believe in themselves, and I turned them into peak performers. I have sort of forged very, very good relationships with clients that I have worked with. So in a service-related business, which ad and marketing is, you have a lot of people-to-people contact. You know, you have to work with people. And for me, the simplest thing was, you know, managing this particular network of people that I had. So when it came to going on my own, all I had to do for me was, you know, to call up and put the word around. On the basis of that, you know, on my past reputation and the experience that people had working with me, and the fact I now have a sizable number of youngsters who work under me, who are now at, you know, very, very serious positions in the industry, all of these things sort of, you know, ended up working in my favor. So I actually put in a word a couple of months before going out on my own. I was actually considering going out on my own, but I put out the word a couple of months before going out on my own. And by the time I decided to go on my own, I already had two clients waiting to sign. So, one that I started on my own, I also started billing. So that was, you know, again, not a problem for me. But as I said, you know, again, the process is simple. 20 to 35, create your networks, talk to people, meet as many people as possible, try and engage with them. And these days, you can engage with, there are multiple points of engagement, right? I mean, social media being one of them. So try and engage with them. And what then ends up happening is, when you come to 35 to 50, you can sort of, you know, sort of, and again, do understand that, you know, when you're out there and you want to work, you should not be shy of asking for work. So, you know, when you're making that call, do not try to be subtle out there. At some point, drop that hot potato, telling them that, you know, you're looking for work, and you'd appreciate it if they could, you know, put a word around. And one of the things I've seen is that always, always works. People who like you will actually go out of their way to help. whether you have 80 to 100 people in your network or anywhere between 10 to 30 really does not matter. What right. matters is you should know what you are doing, what you want to do. You should be able to define your services in the most simplest form possible. You should be able to articulate your value proposition in such a way that it is baby proof, because these are the people that are going to carry you forward. These are the people who are going to recommend you. These are the people who are going to pitch for you to their contacts. So you do that, and you stay disciplined and diligent. With disciplined and diligent, I mean more often than not, what I when I was young, I was told was most of the sales do not happen because of poor follow-up. So make sure that you stay in touch with the people who are out there recommending you. You talk to them regularly, because the more you talk to them, you are also likely to understand what the market needs at this point. Where is the market going? You're also likely to understand what and how the market prices itself, or what are the forces that will drive your pricing in the market. And then accordingly, you can take corrective steps as well. So it's, as I said, if you are willing to give yourself the time, if you have the value proposition right, then it should not be a very overwhelming experience, and you should be able to sort of do this without getting burned, so to speak.
Right. Fantastic stuff, Subhash. This is great value, great insights, and great learning for someone who's really looking into making a move into the consultancy world. Now, I'm quickly going to move on to the last round of questions. These are the rapid fire round of questions. This is where I get to grill you a little. So, ready for what's coming?
Is there a coffee hamper? Is there a coffee hamper?
We get this a lot, by I guess, but unfortunately, the budgets don't permit, so no coffee. But I could arrange a chai hamper for you.
Definitely.
That's super. So, in 60 seconds, 3 tips for individuals to deal with societal perceptions or family pressures when they decide to take an unconventional route, say at 35, 40, or even 45?
Yeah, so 3. First would be learn to not take criticism all that serious. Family and societal pressures. Have a filter. So, you need to filter a lot of that out. You need to stay true on the course that you have charted for yourself. The second is to never stop believing in yourself, because the minute you do that, then everything else starts getting to you. And the third thing is to have a lot of chai, because chai, as I said, is a performance enhancing drug. And if you have a lot of chai, there's a likelihood that your energy will be that much more dedicated towards success, as in getting your clients. Because once you get the clients, once you start work, once you start billing, once you get your first paycheck, all societal pressures, all doubts, everything gets laid to rest. So there's nothing better than success. So filter it out, believe in yourself, and succeed. These are the 3 points that I would put out there.
Awesome. In 50 seconds, what are 3 tips for those who aren't moving into consultancy, but instead exploring new passions like you did with films and investing in new businesses?
Okay. So, keep your ears open. There might be an opportunity or two coming your way at some point. There might be an opportunity coming your way, in an area that, you might be very, very interested in. As they say that the harder you work, the luckier you get. So keeping your ears open is also hard work, because opportunism goes with entrepreneurship. So even a consultant, even though he may not be seen as an entrepreneur, but he is an entrepreneur in some way or the other. So make sure that when the opportunity presents itself, you are there to take advantage of it. So keep your ears open. As I said, you can only do that if you're interacting with a lot of people, and the more you interact with people, the better you will get at understanding a lot of things out there. And you will also be able to see opportunity. I see 3 or 4 opportunities every week now. than, you know, what I used to about a year back. And that is only because of the number of people that, you know, I keep talking. So my investing thing just happened because, you know, somebody approached me saying, hey, you know, can you help me with raising funds for my startup? So I was like, yeah, let's try it out. And we went out there, tried it out. I spoke to a few people. As I said, again, you know, kept my ears open. So I heard from someone that this someone is an investment banker. So I ended up speaking to him. None of this is, you know, it hasn't just happened. So, you know, that happened. Then there was another friend of mine who was attempting something in the area of food. And I happened to sort of sit and, you know, we came up with an idea of a certain type of QSR. And 4 years down the line, you know, I'm invested in a food business. So I have 3 food businesses that, you know, I've invested in. So I'm right. saying that all of these things, you know, have sort of happened. It's very, it's serendipity, but there's a science to it. So, you know, keeping your ears open definitely helps. So talk when it is needed, but listen a lot. So right. if you listen a lot, there's a likelihood that a few opportunities will come your way. And definitely will be able to, you know, find at least one or two that suits you. And as I said, you know, as I just said in the last one that, you know, you will succeed if you, you know, persevere. So in this case also, there are a couple of opportunities that you really, really like. You will ultimately end up making it happen because as a consultant, you're in the business of making things happen. So, you know, if you're doing things for your clients, which make things happen, I'm sure you will do enough for yourself to make things happen.
Awesome. In 40 seconds, you exited your business and chose to start fresh with newer experiences. While your mind would have 100 thoughts, you know, selling your baby and moving on to do something new, what was that one motivation beyond money to help you cross that line?
Adventure would be one of them. After having done what I had done for more than a decade, I now wanted to do different things. And so my agency was a PR agency, you know, and I was not a trained PR person. I did not belong to the PR industry as such. And having made that jump from another industry to PR, I knew that, you know, I had it in me to jump from PR to another industry. So, hence, I sort of did not hesitate when the time came. While, you know, there always is a certain bit of remorse or, for that matter, sadness at times like these, I was suitably quite excited about, you know, what lay ahead as well. So, it wasn't as difficult a decision for me to make, even at the time. And now, a few years later, I am, you know, quite okay, like I have made my peace with it and I have moved on from it as well. Because as I said, I get to experience something new very regularly in this particular area. So I'm very much happy with, you know, what I'm doing at the moment.
Nice. In 30 seconds, 3 books you would recommend people to read to become financially independent and retire early.
So Daniel Kahneman's Thinking Fast and Slow, Malcolm Gladwell's Blink, and Anthony Robbins' Awaken the Giant. I think all of these 3 books are absolutely fantastic. And I mean, I have actually drawn a lot of energy from all 3 of them. And I'm sure, I mean, these are books that, you know, I have. So I read one of these in my 20s. It helped me tremendously. I read one of these books in my 30s, and it really helped me. And the last of that is Kahneman's Thinking Fast and Slow, which I read 3 years ago when I was 41. So I'm talking about these 3 books in 3 different times of my life, 20s, 30s, and now 40. I've read many other books. Let not people think that the man reads one book in a decade. But if there are 3 books that, you know, I had to pinpoint that sort of, you know, stand out for me in terms of helping me out emotionally and being like a guiding light, I would say these 3 books actually, you know, had quite an impact. Right. So I would say Anthony Robbins' Awaken the Giant Within, Malcolm Gladwell's Blink, and Daniel Kahneman's Thinking Fast and Slow.
Super. In 20 seconds, what's the most bizarre work request or consultancy gig someone has come up to you with?
There was quite a few years back. You know, I was managing the crisis on an airline which was going down, which was under fire. And one day, what happened was we did an interview with Economic Times. We did the interview of the managing director of that particular airlines with Economic Times. And the communications head of that particular airline comes up to me and says, please ask Economic Times to print this with a big picture of our aircraft. And, you know, that was quite busy. I mean, to be honest, people in that position would understand what editorial, you know, what editorial was. And right. How it doesn't work like that. And I mean, I have a lot of sympathy for these people because they are always under a lot of stress. And at that point of time when, you know, there was a crisis going on and all the flights of this particular airline were being grounded one by one, I could have understood the kind of pressure this person was under. But, right. You know, my entire team silently heard all that. We came out of the office, out of the building. We drove, I think, a couple of kilometers away from the building and everyone burst out laughing in the car. Because that came. So just for that, I mean, you know, hearing it, holding our silence, getting into the lift, not laughing at all, getting out of the building, not laughing at all, getting into the car, not laughing at all, 2 kilometers away from that particular office building and then bursting out laughing. Was something, I mean, that basically belonged in a film or in a, you know, a comedy show somewhere, but that was seriously bizarre, asking, you know, the biggest business paper in the country to print a picture of your product. That was quite bizarre to me at that point.
Fair. And finally, in 10 seconds, one advice that you would give to those who fear to become a consultant or have become one and have not become a successful one?
Well, to the ones who haven't been a success, you know, that's really not a problem. I mean, there are so many other avenues to explore, including going back to a job. So it's never ever, it's never ever on you if you tried something and failed. In our society, failure is not looked at very kindly, even today. But to hell with it, you know. I mean, you tried something, it didn't work out. It didn't work out this time. So no one is a permanent failure. So, and I wouldn't like to also use the word failure out here. You can always, you know, take a break and come back. Or you can, you know, move to a job. That shouldn't be a problem at all. That shouldn't even have to be said. The other is, you know, for those who are not succeeding, I would suggest to look within, you know, because all the answers lie within. So is there something about your value proposition that you can change? Is there something about your pricing that you can change? Is your approach towards approaching customers, you know, does that need a little bit of tweaking? There are so many questions which you should keep asking yourself. So the more questions you ask yourself, the more likely you are to seek answers. The more answers you get, the better you become. The better you become, the more likely you will succeed. So these are the advices that I would give to both these sets of.
Lovely. Fabulous stuff there, Subhash. With that, that's a wrap. Thank you so much for being a part of this insightful conversation. It really helps a lot of people seeking in for mentorship or guidance when it comes to consultation. I thoroughly enjoyed hosting you. I hope you had a good time.
Same here. I really enjoyed being a part of this. And I hope your audience, you know, gets something out of this conversation that we've had. And I'm looking forward to the feedback.
Lovely, Subhash. Thank you so much. And wishing you nothing but the best for your future.
Thank you. Thank you, Dakshin. Take care.
And with that, we come to the end of today's episode. Don't forget to subscribe to all the audio and video channels of The Deliberate Talks and Pixelated Egg. Join me next week for a Table for One edition. Until then, be curious, be adventurous, and never stop learning. Cheers.